Did you know Instacart delivers more than groceries? You can get tech, beauty, office supplies, sporting goods, and more, all delivered right to your door in as fast as an hour. So whether you're cooking dinner or your phone charger is cooked, you can save yourself multiple trips by shopping over 1,000 stores in the Instacart app. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's do it. How we doing? Fourth to final hour on a Friday. Hope your weekend is getting on and off to a good start. If you're still working like us, welcome. You're keeping us a company. We appreciate that. All righty, five questions, five answers, onsides, offside. We do this every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to it right now. Hot take, Hickey. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what do you got for me today, HDH?
All right, Zach. The Athletic came out with a detailed article today about the relationship between Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. Now, according to different sources and players, each had their own faults for what was a catastrophic season. Hackett was viewed as allowing Russ too much power and defaulting to everything the franchise QB desired, while Wilson was critiqued for trying to do too much, which led to uncertainty and confusion. Onsides or offsides? You blame Nathaniel Hackett for more of the mess in Denver last season than Russell Wilson.
That is like whenever LeBron James doesn't win a championship or it doesn't work out somewhere, people try to blame the coach. Russell Wilson wanted all the power. Russell Wilson wanted to get away from a great coach in Pete Carroll and do things his way. I'm not telling you Nathaniel Hackett was any good. He was a disaster. But that is the situation that Russell Wilson wanted. He knew everything about it. That's where he wanted to go, and that's where he ended up. So I don't want to hear for a second that people think, oh, Nathaniel Hackett is deserving of more blame than Russell Wilson. What is Nathaniel Hackett supposed to do? Hey, Russ, you're not allowed a second floor office. Oh, hey, Russ, you're not allowed to do this. Nathaniel Hackett didn't even have any clout in the league as a head coach. So therefore, if he tried to tell or hold Russell Wilson accountable and Russ had a problem with it, he would have driven him out even sooner. So to suggest or ask the question, is Nathaniel Hackett more responsible than Russell Wilson? That is a big fat offside.
Offside!
The Kansas City Chiefs announced earlier today that Matt Nagy has been promoted to offensive coordinator, replacing Eric Bieniemy.
Is there a better time to be Matt Nagy than right now? You just got the big fat contract from the Bears. You won a coach of the year. It didn't work out. You got embarrassed. You win a Super Bowl. You're dancing at the parade, all those old man dance moves. And then Bieniemy leaves because he feels like I can't get a head coaching job right now. So even though I'm having a lot of success in Kansas City, I have to go to the Commanders. So he goes to a worse situation, but where he has more power in terms of running the offense, and maybe that will elevate him to a head coaching job. The fact that it has to go that way is just ridiculous. And then Matt Nagy, who failed as a coach, as a head coach, got all that money, just goes right back to Andy Reid, and he's right back to the teat of Andy Reid. And now it's like, okay, he'll be the guy that's just going to be there, and I don't even know what the heck he's actually going to do. I know his title is the offensive coordinator, but he's going to benefit from everything there. And you know what? Would it surprise you if that guy gets another head coaching job? Would it? Like, he shouldn't. He should be nowhere near a team as a head coach. And that's a guy that won coach of the year one year. But watch, he'll go to Kansas City, 3 years of success. And since his hiring cycle makes no sense, he'll get a head coaching job in like 4 years or something like that. Or he'll be the heir apparent to Andy Reid. Is that the question?
Not the heir apparent exactly, but he was 34 and 31 in 4 years in Chicago.
Oh.
Made the playoffs twice in 4 years with the Bears. Onsides or offsides, Matt Nagy will be a head coach in the NFL again.
All right, I'm going to take a page out of your playbook. I know I just laid out the argument how it wouldn't be surprising whatsoever. And I guess there's a chance. But there is no way that that should happen. So I'm going to do what you do a lot of times and not differentiate should and will. You asked me, will he be head coach again, correct, Amundo?
Will.
Offside.
Offside.
And that's more so just me hoping that doesn't happen. Because, I don't know if there's been a coach. And it's crazy because that guy did win coach of the year in 2018 that I bitched and complained more about in recent memory than Matt Nagy, because it was just ridiculous what him and Ryan Pace were doing with the Chicago Bears.
And you know what's going to happen. 3 years are going to go by.
Like a good job, too.
Oh, 34-31, winning record.
Yeah.
Made the playoffs twice in 4 years. He had Mitch Trubisky.
Well, you know what it'd be very similar to? Like how Todd Bowles got a second job. Now, I know Arians retired, but people then tried to have revisionist history with Todd Bowles with the Jets, and you forget outside of that 1 year where Bowles almost made the playoffs and then was a disaster the final game of the season, and I'm saying this as someone that went to the same university as Todd Bowles. We share an alma mater. He should have never been a head coach again. I had some hack from Deadspin, which is like everyone that writes for Deadspin, where people were, we were talking about Todd Bowles, and all I wrote was a comment. It wasn't even a Deadspin article that like, oh, there's revisionist history with people forgetting how bad Todd Bowles was a head coach. Some hack from Deadspin was like, it's not revisionist history. He was very good with the Jets. And I'm like, I'm not even responding to you. Because there's no purpose to argue with someone like that. If you're trying to tell me Todd Bowles was the sensational head coach with the New York Jets, couldn't be the farthest thing from the truth. You know what I'm going to do? Whenever someone tries to tell me that Todd Bowles was this great head coach with the Jets or better than what people thought, I'm just going to give him Joe Beningo's number and just have Joe yell at you. That's what I'll do.
Save the stress for you and... Well, there goes their ears.
Joe will be like, what?
Yeah, they'll go deaf after that 10-minute phone call of screaming.
Remember Chris Berman back in the day? We'd be like, what? That'd be like Joe Beningo. You call, hey, Joe, Zach Gill gave you your number. He wanted me to say that I should give you a call because I actually believe that Todd Bowles was a decent coach of the Jets. Bro, are you kidding me? What? You know that would be coming from Joe B.
Oh, for 10 minutes.
Why at did least. Joe Beningo die? Cause of death. Someone told him Todd Bowles was a good coach.
And maybe one day some Bears fans will be saying that about Matt Nagy.
Ugh.
That is for sure.
If he gets another head coaching job, I'll be sick.
I have a feeling 2 or 3 years from now, people will be looking back differently in that Bears tenure than they did when he was fired after 2021.
You know what? I'd be okay with him actually getting a head coaching job. Here's why.
Here we go. I know what you're going to say.
3 years from now, the next head football coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Saw that coming.
Matt Nagy.
Saw that one coming.
I'm good with that.
Well.
When you guys still can't find a good young quarterback, he'll go there and
Bryce
mess
Young
up another one.
Shane Steichen, I think that'll be a nice little 1-2 combo for a long time. A long time in Indy, that is
for
sure.
Yeah, I don't like that hire, Shane Steichen as a head coach, but go ahead.
Let's talk a little basketball. Regular season is coming down the home stretch. The race for the MVP award is heating up. Now, last week, ESPN conducted a straw poll of 100 voters to get their vote for MVP right now. Nikola Jokic is running away with what would be his third straight MVP award. Out of the 100 votes, he had 77 first-place votes. The Joker this year is averaging a triple-double. In the straw poll, second was Giannis, followed by Joel Embiid, who is in third place. Onside or offside, Zach? Jokic, is your pick to an MVP this season?
Yeah, I'm going on sides on that one. You heard how quickly Termini even just explained it and said, well, he'll win the award again. They'll have the best record. I feel like when you got to win it for a third time in a row, and I know that there's going to be a lot of history and there's going to be a lot of debate about this, and people are going to say, oh, he shouldn't get it because of other previous years with things that have happened. But I almost think when you won multiple MVPs, you got to have everything go right for you. And in the regular season, as long as he just doesn't get hurt, they'll be the number one seed and everything will go right for him. So I do think the Joker is going to win the MVP for a third straight year.
We just mentioned the Bears before. Let's talk about them again because they do have a decision to make.
You know what? I'm actually really curious. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I may have to bring in Shep at some point before the show ends. Because I'm really curious, like Shep loves basketball and he always has like these crazy basketball takes, like these well-researched takes that can make you like raise an eyebrow and go like, okay, that's an interesting point. And There's even just some takes to this day, and Shep is really good when it comes to the NBA, but there are some bizarre takes that he has. I wonder where he stands on Nikola Jokic winning three MVPs in a row. I feel like he will give us a history lesson. And also, our buddy in the mornings, the producer slash co-host of the DA show, Sean Marash, alerted me today that there is some really, really, really crazy audio from Shep saying that he could survive a fight against Mike Tyson. So we got to locate that audio and we'll play it for you later on in the show, Hickey, because I want to hear how the context on that, because Shep and Mike Tyson, one punch by Mike Tyson and Shep's. I think just Tyson steps in the ring and Shep is urinating down his left leg.
Look, you think I say some crazy things.
You do.
That is in a whole other category of itself.
Now, I got to hear it.
I was just going to say, if it's just I could beat up Mike Tyson, again, what I say and what Shep is claiming is two different worlds right now of craziness.
But you will admit sometimes there's audio that gets thrown out there, people make it a big deal, and you hear it, you're like, like it was said in a joking context. I just got to hear the full context of it. But it would not surprise me if what Sean was telling me is 100%.
Well, if he thinks he could beat up Mike Tyson, I hope he was joking, and I hope Mike Tyson's not listening.
Well, if it is the case, I hope Mike Tyson is listening. And then he comes to the studio and beats the crap out of Shep.
I don't want to see a murder. That's what would happen. I don't want to see that.
So, hey, Shep, David and Spike, Shep's dead. Mike Tyson drove to the studio, dropped his lion off in the lobby, or his tiger off in the lobby, then came up and said, Shep, you think you can survive in a fight up against me? And then one punch, he was done.
I think for
blood everywhere.
Someone did a spicy chip challenge or something like that, and you had to have a medic on site in order to do so. I would say you probably have to have a medic on site if
I don't
Mike
think
Tyson,
a medic is gonna help.
I was just gonna say maybe
maybe
a higher power at that point.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
No way.
Oh, Chef. All right. Let's go back to reality. The Chicago Bears, they do have a big decision to make. Keep Justin Fields and trade the number one overall pick, or trade Fields and draft a quarterback. Last season, Justin Fields threw for 2,242 yards, had 17 passing touchdowns to 11 interceptions. He rushed, though, for 1,143 yards and 8 touchdowns. Those 1,143 yards are just 64 yards shy of setting the all-time record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in a season. Onside, Zach, or offsides, the Bears should trade Justin Fields and draft Bryce Young, or in this case, another quarterback maybe that they like.
Offside. That is easy.
Offside.
They should trade the pick, keep Justin Fields, get more assets, and put some talent around Justin Fields. Like, I get it if Trevor Lawrence was available, and I think the world of Bryce Young, but it's not a guarantee that he's going to be the ultimate success in the NFL and that he'll even be better than Justin Fields. And that's another thing yesterday. Like, we were talking to you about quarterbacks that have already had some proven success in this league. If you give them fully guaranteed deals, and you're like, I may rather go with the younger guy coming out of the draft. If I have a guy that showed me like 3 or 4 years of success, and I know Fields hasn't been around the league that long, but the conversation we have yesterday with a guy like Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, whatever, I would rather take them than I would an unknown still in the draft. Because how many years do we highly tout some of these prospects and they end up just being disasters at the quarterback position? Like Jamarcus Russell, right? Everyone's like, oh, that guy's going to be a stud. Look what he did at LSU. And then he couldn't even watch the film or read the playbook. So
it's fair. I mean, the draft is truly a crapshoot. It really is. There's no guarantees whatsoever. Speaking of which, let's finish off with this. Derek Carr is looking to get paid this offseason. He was not guaranteed his money from the Raiders, and now he's a free agent. And according to ESPN's Diana Rossini, the former Raiders QB is looking for $35 million per season.
Daniel Jones's agent isn't happy with that.
No, he is not. Especially when you look at Carr, who is scheduled before he was released by the Raiders, he was scheduled to make $33 million this year before he was cut.
The man.
So that $35 million price tag would tie for Kirk Cousins' ninth highest quarterback salary in the NFL if he does get what he wants. Onsides or offsides, Derek Carr, in your mind, is worth the $35 million a year price tag he is seeking?
Well, $35 million is not that much for a quarterback these days. And that's probably on a 3 or 4 year deal. I don't think the world of Carr, but if you're a team like the Jets, if you're a team like the Saints, like where else are you going to go? I don't know if it's likely that Rodgers winds up with the Jets or not. Like, that's a gamble. You have to give up assets. I would do it if I could be the Jets. But $35 million, that's not that bad of a price tag, Higgy, for Derek Carr. So I do think he is worth it because I think it's like fair value. It's a guy that could be a top 10 quarterback. Anytime he looks like he's a top 10 quarterback, he takes three or four steps back. But I think it's a pretty fair price, no?
And you line up right with Kirk Cousins, which is about fair for the comp of style of play. And yeah, I mean, still gives you some flexibility, whatever team you are, to still add. You're not breaking the bank and, you know, giving them $55 million a year. So I'm with you.
I actually think for like the really, really great quarterbacks, like Burrow and other guys moving far, like Josh Allen already got paid. We'll see what happens with Herbert and Lawrence. If those teams really believe in those guys, which I think they do, I think you may want to just lock them up for as many years as possible and kind of do what the Chiefs did. Because, like, that Mahomes deal now, it looks like a bargain. And what was that, a 10-year, $500 million, $450? What was that?
10 for $450 with incentives that get up to five.
Like, a few years later, that's a bargain.
I mean, $45 million is like, I think he's fifth, I believe. So already, two years after the contract, it's like, he's already falling back in the pack. It's crazy.
And you got to know, like, if the guy only had one good year, that's different. But if you get a guy like Trevor Lawrence that goes on to have two more good years, or Justin Herbert that has like another good year after that, I think I'd be good given that long-term deal. All righty, that's Onside's Offside right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We do a little QB carousel next, and we'll take a stop down south in Florida. Time to preview the Miami Dolphins.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Miami Dolphins.
All right, let's talk a little Dolphins right now with the man that is a very entertaining sports radio host on 560 WQAM, and that, of course, is Mark Hochman, who the only problem I have with Mark is he puts ketchup on a cheesesteak. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
How did I know you were going to mention that, Zach?
I like you a lot, and I know that you've been in the business for a long time, but anytime I hear your name now or I see content from your show or I listen to your show, I just think about that ketchup that you put on cheesesteaks. It drives me insane.
My wife is from Philadelphia. She taught me that. She said proper Philadelphians put ketchup on a cheesesteak, and I adopted it, and I roll with that for the rest of my life.
Well, Howard Eskin, who's like the king of Philadelphia, needs to talk to your wife because he may revoke her Philadelphia card. He's very sensitive.
Are you sure? Are
very
you sure
sensitive
he
with cheese
ketchup
steaks.
on a cheesesteak?
No, he hates Cheese Whiz. He thinks Cheese Whiz is a violation, so I doubt he'll put ketchup on a cheesesteak.
Wow.
Do you go Cheese Whiz?
Of course.
Gotcha.
That to me, like to me a premier cheesesteak is Cheese Whiz, obviously the steak, and a big load of ketchup squirted all over it.
No onions? You don't go fried onions?
I prefer not, to be quite honest. I don't mind them, but I prefer not.
See, the Cheese Whiz I could let you have at it with. That's fine. I usually go provolone or American. But if you're going ketchup and no onions, that's where I have the violation, Mark.
Wow, you can't go American cheese on a cheesesteak, though, Zach. Provolone, I'm with you. Can't go American on that.
You know what? I'm sure Odyssey would pay for this. You'll come up. We'll go to DeLisandro's. I know the owners, and they will tell you how to order a cheesesteak. I'm sure all of our
all right,
bosses,
right?
Len Weiner, Spike Eskin, David Field, Jeff Satellano. I'm probably getting fired right now as we speak. I'm sure they would pay for that.
I guarantee you Len Weiner won't sign off on it.
All right, so let's get to the Dolphins. It's weird when we get to the Tua conversation because we all saw what unfolded last year, and it's uncomfortable. What do you kind of think next year will look like for Tua? Is it just, okay, can he get through the season without suffering a concussion, and then he'll be the quarterback for the next 5-10 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's always going to have this, you know, microscope on him. So can he get through an entire season without a concussion? I doubt it, only because I think they treat him a little bit differently than other quarterbacks just based on the, you know, the eyes that were on him when he had the prime time one. But I don't think it's going to be a problem like it was this year. Like, I think this year kind of a, I don't know, I don't want to say it was new because they've been dealing with head injuries for a while, but the prime time concussion that he got was so gruesome looking that I think it kind of put this season a little bit askew with him. And I think he'll kind of fall into line with other quarterbacks next season, where obviously you're going to take some hits, and your head is going to hit the turf at some point. But, man, I just have a tough time believing. And he said he was going to go through, you know, yoga and some other stuff this offseason to learn how to fall better. I'm, you know, maybe I'm just hoping against hope, but I don't think it's going to be a lingering problem. I hope it's not.
The weird part for me is I still go back to that Bills game, how he came back in the game. I was shocked. But how they still say that it was a back injury and not a head injury, I get it. I'm not a doctor. I just went to Temple in Philadelphia and studied communications. That, to me, looked like a concussion, though, in that Bills game.
Yeah, that one, the optics on that one did not suggest back injury. But I will say the optics on that one also, if you go back and look at it, you go back and by the way, I'm not being an apologist like for head injuries here, because I'm very happy that they're very cautious about that stuff, and they should certainly err on the side of caution. But I don't think it was that out of the ordinary from other quarterback hits during the season. And I think you see plenty of guys that go down, they get up, they're a little wobbly on their feet, and then they kind of get their bearings. I mean, it is what it is. The sport is what it is. To think that was a back injury that caused the legs to kind of buckle there and him look confused is probably a little bit naive, but it's a story that they're sticking to. So,
with how much this has been in the public spotlight, Mark Hochman, like, I just wonder if he suffers one next year. Like, when do they determine if he's cleared or not? Because I feel like there's going to be a lot more attention on that one, like we were talking about, if he suffers another concussion next season.
That's the big question with them. I mean, that really is, and I'm glad that I don't have to make that decision. I'm not the general manager, but that really is the big question, which is the optics. You know, we all have that image of him and his hands going into that weird motion in the primetime game and knowing that he had obviously suffered a significant head injury, and then we know he ended the season, you know, with head injury and being in the concussion protocol. So I'm with you. That's the million-dollar question, right? Because even you can even talk about, you know, extending him, but you don't know. Because I think what happens in that situation, if he does get a concussion, if he goes into the concussion protocol at any time, you're going to get the pundits and fans and, you know, experts in the medical field who are saying it's too many in too quick a period, and you've got to think about shutting them down. So I'm really glad. Listen, I'm a fan, and so I watched the game. I love him. I am so in on Tua. I think this guy, I mean, when he was playing at the highest level this past season, he was playing at an MVP caliber. Like, I'm really in on him. I find him to be unbelievably likable. I think he's unbelievably accurate. And so, obviously, this question is going to linger. He really needs to get through a season without a major injury, whether it's a head injury or a hip injury. Like, he needs to be able to get through a season, but it's going to be tough to overcome. If he does have a concussion early on in the season, it's going to be tough to overcome, you know, the optics of, do you have to shut him down for his own safety? And like I say, it's the million-dollar question. Dolphins are saying all the things, you know, that you'd want them to say as a Dolphins fan, which is, he's our guy, he doesn't have a propensity for head injuries more than someone else in the league, and we think he'll be fine. But man, it's going to be tough to withstand public pressure if he does indeed go down with a bad head injury.
Well, here's the real question for me, because I know it's different regime in terms of who the head coach was, same general manager, but they've said before he's their guy, and then they have pursued other quarterbacks and they didn't wind up with them. Like, if Rodgers does become available this offseason, or Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens or Packers call Chris Greer just doing their due diligence, now I wonder how far those conversations do go.
Yeah, that you know, I really do believe Chris Greer, the general manager, when he says he's their guy. I didn't believe him when Brian Flores was the head coach, and that was obviously a power struggle. Chris Greer was saying one thing, Brian Flores was believing another. In those instances, though, those two instances that you point out, though, Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson, I absolutely think, but I think a lot of quarterbacks who are solidified on their team, if those two guys were available, you certainly have to have the conversation. I think Aaron Rodgers, listen, Steve Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, he wants to win. He's owned the team for a while now. They've had no real postseason success since he's been the owner. Aaron Rodgers is someone you would have to pursue. And he wanted to draft Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson was coming out in the draft. And Stephen Ross was overruled by his own football guys. So I think those two particular guys who you point out there, I think those guys, yes, you say the right things about Tua, but if it's one of those guys, you certainly have to pursue it. And I don't think anyone would blame them either.
Now, just because Caleb Williams says it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. You need the Dolphins to have a bad season or trade up next year to do so. But what was the reaction today about the Caleb Williams stuff where he says the Dolphins are his number one choice for an NFL destination?
Yeah, everybody loves that. Everybody loves it. Listen, I think they have a really good team moving forward. I think, you know, obviously you got the two receivers on the outside who are, you know, unbelievably good, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. But I really think with Tua, didn't you think during the season, last season, that they were an elite football team for about a 3-4 week run? Didn't you think that they were one of the elite teams?
Until the injuries, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, top guys would say, yeah, that's where I'd like to end up, because I happen to think that they're a really good team. Again, is there this one huge question mark hanging over them? There is, because I don't even know what you do in the backup situation. Again, I'm glad I don't have this job, but I don't know what you do for the backup situation, because if you bring in a guy that's competitive for the starting position with Tua, you know, it's like, what are you doing to him now in year four? Because he went through it in years one and two, had the injuries this season. But if you don't have a guy that's super quality capable backing him up, then, you know, are you really kind of putting all your eggs in the Tua basket? And he's shown you for three seasons that he can't get through a season. So they're in quite a quandary.
I'll say this, and obviously as we've been talking, wrapping up with Mark Hochman, the biggest story is the health of Tua moving forward, and that's all out of our control. I'm still trying to figure out, I know it's only 1 year, and he did a good job, what Mike McDaniel is as a head coach. How confident are you in the Dolphins coach?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in him. I'm pretty confident. I take my lead, obviously. My radio partner played for the Dolphins, Jannon Crowder, so I take my lead on coaching with him. He's all in on Mike McDaniel. You know, can you judge any coach after one season? You certainly can on the negative, right? So we saw it with the Dolphins with Cam Cameron. He went 1-15 in his only season, and you knew early on that this guy just didn't have it, you know, as a head coach. What I saw from Mike McDaniel, there were definitely some rookie coaching mistakes. There were definitely some clock management issues in certain games that he'd wish to have back, I would imagine. He does love to go for it on fourth down situations, but some of the play calling in those fourth down situations certainly can come up for question. But to me, that was more than you would expect out of a first-year coach. They had an unbelievable run. It looked like the team was all in on him. He didn't seem to be overdoing it in trying to win over the team or be cutesy. You know, you see the press conferences before they hired him. And I didn't think anything was like shtick. Like, I think you got the real deal with him, which is kind of a quirky guy, but really knows football. He did make some rookie coaching mistakes, and we certainly talked about it on the air. I mean, it wasn't like he was beyond questioning on some of the calls. But for me, like, that's kind of part and parcel for a first-year head coach ever. So I'm in on him. What I really loved about him was the way that he treated Tua with the utmost respect and treated him like a starter, like a top five NFL draft pick, a starter whose job is not in jeopardy. Because for the two seasons prior to that, Brian Flores, it was always very clear that Tua had a very short leash and that Flo probably was preferring a different person in that spot. So I loved the way that Mike McDaniel treated Tua. And that's because I'm a big Tua fan. But I think Mike McDaniel is going to be a longtime head coach in the NFL. I think he's going to be very successful.
I started you with food after end you with food. I'm on your Twitter profile page right now. Are you a big In-N-Out guy?
So there is no In-N-Out around us, but when I do go to the West Coast, I enjoy In-N-Out. But I will tell you this.
I thought it was a little overrated.
I've had Whataburger twice in my life.
Better.
And I think Whataburger is better than In-N-Out.
Yeah, I was So I used to intern for Angelo Cataldi, and then he would have me on his show a bunch, and he would always tell me about In-N-Out Burger. The first time I went to the West Coast, I had it. I thought it was a little overrated.
So it's, for me, the service and the vibe, like, they always have, you know, 100 people working in the kitchen and at the counter. I like the way that the service is right on. The fries are underwhelming. The fries,
yes.
You got to get them well done. They're underwhelming. But I'm telling, have you ever had Whataburger?
Yes. Better than In-N-Out.
It's better than In-N-Out. Yeah. Yeah.
I also once cooked burgers at Five Guys, so I think I'm well versed in this.
Oh, I enjoy Five Guys as well.
Mark Hochman, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there you go. Mark Hochman for 560 WQAM. Good stuff with him. Marco, have you ever had In-N-Out Burger, by the way?
I have not.
Okay. Have you ever been to the West Coast?
Once, but we didn't go to the In-N-Out. I don't know why we didn't go to the In-N-Out, to be honest, now that I think about it. Probably a total mistake. We just didn't even think of it.
You know when you hear about something for like years and years and years, mm-hmm. and then you think it's like, oh, the creme de la creme. It's the greatest thing in the world. And maybe that factored into it, but I went to it and I was like, all right, such a long line. The atmosphere is cool, like Mark is saying. And then I had it. I'm like, what's the big deal here? Like, I've had a lot better fast food burgers.
It's almost like when you overhype a movie. And by the time you get to watch it, you're like, yeah, it's fine. But like everybody made it sound like it was the best movie I'll ever watch. And yeah, so it's the same concept. Sometimes when you hear something for too long, you build it up in your head and it just never equals out, matches up.
I have to play you something that I have not heard yet. This is from the JR Sport Brief extravaganza, I think, last night. I don't know if you're aware of this audio, but Mraz alerted me of this. Listen up to Shep talking with JR, and Shep thinks he could go toe-to-toe with a legend in the boxing world. Listen up.
You would beat him in a 12-round fight?
Right now, yes. Yes.
What would you do? Run around the ring?
No, I would be. I would run around. I would tire him out. You saw bad example because I know you're not the biggest Rocky fan in the world, but I would tire Mike Tyson out. He's not. Listen, I know Hands is the last thing to go in boxing. I'm well aware of this, but he's not to be able to keep up with me. He's gonna wear down in round 4, 5, and 6. He's not gonna be able to sustain
that.
I'm not trying to be facetious or funny about this. Like when you're nearing 60 years old, I'm 36 years old. You're still in the prime of your athletic career if you take care of your body and you eat right and nutritiously.
So
you're keeping
you
up to
would,
date.
If we put you and Mike Tyson in a ring,
yes,
right now today. You would run around the ring and avoid Mike Tyson, and then you would win as a result.
Yeah, I mean he'd get some. I'm sure he'd get some shots in for sure.
Some shots,
but I like my odds. I like my chances. Now
I wouldn't.
Am I gonna have an opportunity to train like with like a Freddie Roach or a Teddy Atlas?
I'm good on that. So here's my thing. First off, it's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard, obviously. But I guess what Shep is saying, since he's like a marathon runner, he could condition to move around the ring the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
A, Mike, in a confined space, Mike Tyson would catch you. Mm-hmm. And B, all he has to, I don't care if you're the quickest person in the world, one punch, little Shep is donezo.
You know, JR actually brought me on to talk about this
last night
a little bit. Yeah. So I was aware. Once you started the beginning part, I was kind of like, where are we going? And then, oh, yeah, that's right. Shep's an idiot and thinks he could fight Mike Tyson. So, I told him last night. I mean, I did say to him it's disrespectful, the idea that you think, because he said 3 months, give him 3 months to train. And then JR was nice enough. I said, I'll give you a year.
Give you 7 years.
It's the idea that the disrespect of the man was the greatest fighter in the world for a time. I don't care how old he is, and he's not decrepit. He's still in phenomenal shape. You're giving up about 100 pounds, and you think in 3 months you can learn the art of a sport where he was the best in the world, you're telling me that you can actually
no shot
put up a not even run around. You don't think he's going to cut the ring off on you? Like, you don't think he's going to figure out where you what you're doing and where you're going before you even think about it? Sure, you're faster. That doesn't matter.
I'll take it a step further. Mike Tyson steps in the ring. Shep is urinating down his leg.
Wow.
And he's crying, and he just realized that he made the biggest mistake in the world.
Again, luckily, this will never happen because...
Well, you never know.
No, because there wouldn't be enough of a, you know, money and crowd because... Who's Shep?
Imagine.
And that's not a knock on Shep, but it would be the idea of anybody fighting Mike Tyson. I mean, you get anybody 25 years old running around the ring. If I don't know who you are, I'm not watching the fight.
Could you imagine if Odyssey, like our company, our parent company, got word of this?
Well, that's a different story.
The lawyers would step in right away and be like, no way.
Again, the idea is just...
We're not responsible for this death.
Hopefully is that Mr. Tyson doesn't actually hear about any of this because he's got a bit of a temper. So it would be something that would I would imagine anger him. Because any amateur, at any, I mean, this is not even amateur level. Like I said, he's not a fighter. Yeah. Shep's a marathon running, ran the New York, didn't he run the New York Marathon?
New York City Marathon and then produced Ion Football.
I was going to say, more than once, didn't he? Like, he's obviously in great shape. I'm not taking any
of it. Tiki Barber's time, and we love Tiki.
And not taking anything away. Yeah. And Tiki's obviously a ridiculous athlete. We get that. But being an athlete and being a fighter, two totally different things.
One punch, you're done.
And even the idea that, like, you know, he was saying last night, I could cover up. If Tyson hits you with headgear on and you covered up,
dead,
100 pounds you're giving up, he's going to hurt you.
Yeah, more probably.
You'd be lucky if you if you're awake at the end of that. I mean, honestly, even if you block the punch with headgear,
100%.
I know. I don't care that he's pushing 60. The guy's he was the undisputed champion of the world. He was the baddest man on the planet for a time.
He was the best ever.
Come on, come on. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
Nobody can stop me. I'm the best ever.
Oh, Tyson was great, though, man. In his prime, he was fun to watch in his prime, man.
Hey, Hickey, can we try to work on booking Mike Tyson? How great. Hey, Mike, champ, I got to explain to you this guy, Shep. He thinks he could survive the fight up against you. Your thoughts?
The problem is his thoughts would be put him in the ring because I think Tyson would prove the point. That's what I'm afraid of. That's my concern here. I know it's all fun and joke around, but I'm concerned if Tyson would actually beat. That's what I'm saying. Tyson would actually be like, look, I don't need training. Come on, we'll do it now.
You know, Shep is hosting tonight. We got to bring him on the other side. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Shep now joins us in studio. We only got a few moments before we got to get on out of here. And Shep is a coworker of ours, obviously. Does a great job on the JR Sport Brief Extravaganza. He's actually hosting it tonight because JR is off. And I consider Shep a friend, so I'm truthful with my friends. Your take last night, and we just played it before you came on in the last segment, that you could survive a fight against Mike Tyson because you would just be dancing around the ring for 12 rounds and he would never catch you is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So first of all, great to be with you and Hickey. Mm-hmm. My contention is that Mike Tyson is close to 60. And
doesn't
when you are going against somebody half your age, you are dealing with much, you know, really fast twitch muscle fiber.
You're dealing
with an individual that can dance like Gregory Hines if I'm trained properly. I have no problem admitting that Mike Tyson, if he lands correctly, will send me to the ER and I may never walk again.
And he will land.
But I don't know about that because I don't know how seriously Mike Tyson would take me. That was my point.
I don't care if he doesn't train. I don't care if he rolls in after a crazy night where he's got the tiger from Hangover that winds up in the room and all that. This is one of the most deadliest men on the planet.
Was.
Still to this day. He's 56.
Was.
Remember the jackass on the plane that was messing with him?
Yeah, but the jackass was drunk out of his mind.
And he...
I'm showing up sober to this.
I think you may be, as much as I love you, you may be drunk out of your mind right now.
No, Gelb. I mean, obviously...
Last night were you when you had this day?
So we were having a little bit of fun with this, but in all seriousness, like, I believe if you train me properly, if you gave me Freddy, if you gave me Teddy, one of those great all-time Hall of Fame trainers.
Atlas for 10 years, he would still kill you.
You give me 10 years to train properly, Mike Tyson will not beat me in a 12-round match on the scorecard.
I'm going to fall to the floor.
Oh, I disagree completely.
You wouldn't land one punch, and not only that,
he
connects one punch on you, which he will.
Okay.
You're done.
Gelb, I'm a tough SOB, man.
Have you ever done boxing?
I've been in fights.
Have you ever done boxing?
No. I've never gotten in a ring with two gloves.
I took a boxing class.
Yes.
This guy in the gym, he trains people. He saw me. He goes, I want to just train you one time.
And you're a big guy.
I wasn't even getting hit. I could go on an elliptical for 2 hours and be fine.
Right.
I wasn't even getting hit. I was seeing stars. That is a different breed. And you're not like you're going against someone that's never done it before.
Right.
You're going against one of the greatest ever.
One of the greatest all time who has not laced him up professionally in a serious manner in about 15, 20 years. I am more than confident. If you gave me the opportunity, Mike Tyson, I'm dead serious. Mike Tyson, when after 12 rounds, would go down as a loser at overall.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'd knock him out.
How? You would not even be able, you would punch him. He would be like, what the heck just hit me? And not in the way like, oh, I can't believe I just got knocked out. He wouldn't even feel the punch.
Hey, I'm telling you, Gelb, you gave me the proper training. Bigger surprises have taken place in sports.
Real quick, they got 30 seconds. Yes. I got to run.
Yes.
Will Nikola Jokic win 3 straight MVPs?
You know why he will? The answer is yes, because he's the only superstar outside of Giannis Antetokounmpo that takes the regular season seriously. And media
LeBron
members.
Does.
Really?
Yeah,
because LeBron believes in load management as much as anybody.
Well,
he can
LeBron
hide and put it as guys no matter what he
LeBron
wants to say.
LeBron recently has got hurt. For a while, LeBron would always play the games.
Correct, but there was LeBron fatigue. There is no such thing as Nikola Jokic fatigue. And there's sympathy votes because he plays in a smaller market.
Yeah, I kind of think that.
And this year he deserves it more than any other year where he's won the regular season MVP.
Why didn't Giannis win 3 straight MVPs?
Because it's a great question. Because Giannis got to the promised land and always fell short, and he couldn't get it done in the playoffs.
Interesting, which he eventually obviously did.
Yeah.
And he won a championship when everyone said, oh, he can't win a championship. It was so stupid. Like what people are still saying about Lamar Jackson right now. All right, Shep, have a good show. I hope Mike Tyson is listening, and I hope he calls in and knocks you out via the phone. Because there's no way, it'd be the easiest bet of my life, and I'm a bad gambler, that you would defeat Mike Tyson in a fight. I don't care if he's 85. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.